translation. A peaceful, equal-poised person who is factually advanced in Krishna consciousness does not need to accept the symbols of sannyas, such as Sri Danda and Kamaledu. According to the necessity, he sometimes accepts these symbols and sometimes rejects them. Purport. There are four stages of the renounced order of life. Katukata, please excuse my pronunciation of these. Bahudaka, Parijrajakaya, Acharya, and Paramahamsa. Herein, Shambhagmatam considers the Paramahamsa amongst the sannyasis. The Mayavadi impersonalist sannyasis cannot attain the Paramahamsa stage. This is because of their impersonal conception of the absolute truth. Brahmaiti Paramaiti Bhagavan Iti Sabjati. The absolute truth is perceived in three stages, in which Bhagavan, or realization of the Supreme Godhead, is meant for the Paramahamsas. Indeed, Shambhagmatam itself is meant for the Paramahamsas. Paramamo nirmatato saramana satam. Unless one is in the Paramahansa stage, he is not eligible to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. For Paramahansas or sannyasis in the Vaishnava order, preaching is the first duty. To preach, such sannyasis may accept the symbols of sannyas, such as the danda and kemamaladu. Or sometimes they may not. Generally, the Vaishnava sannyasis, being Paramahamsas, are automatically called Babajis, and they do not carry kemamaladu or danda. Such a sannyasi is freed to accept or reject the marks of sannyas. His only thought is, where is there an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness? Sometimes the Krishna consciousness movement sends its representative sannyasis to foreign countries where the danda and kamaladu are not very much appreciated. We send our preachers in ordinary dress to introduce our books and philosophy. Our only concern is to attract people to Krishna consciousness. We may do this in the dress of sannyasi or in the regulative dress of a gentleman. Our only concern is to spread interest in Krishna consciousness. So, this purport, as it's in, the main theme of this purport is actually the top level sannyas, Paramahamsa. And, Paramahamsa means actually swan-like devotee, or it says in the back of the Bhagavatam and other Prabhupada's books in the index, a swan-like devotee or first-class devotee. So according to the purport here, that unless one is a Paramahamsa, one cannot understand the Bhagavatam. Or actually, it says here, word for word, is not eligible to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this means it is very difficult to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam unless one is a Paramahamsa. And many of us, I would not say I am a Paramahamsa, no way, I'm far from it. But the idea of this Bhagavatam is that we actually come to this level of our Paramahamsa to understand. And the illegibility to understand the Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam is the mercy of Lord Caitanya. Without the mercy of Lord Caitanya, we cannot understand anything, because it says that if you think of Lord Caitanya, what is impossible becomes possible. Without thinking of Lord Caitanya, what is possible becomes impossible. So, to understand the Bhagavatam, we have to get the full mercy of Lord Caitanya. Now, this mercy of Lord Caitanya is described very nicely from one of the unusual sources I've ever heard to describe Lord Caitanya's mercy. The other day, I was on the Mayapur TV website. So I went to the Los Angeles Temple website and to hear class there. So it was the period. So then the speaker was talking about the Lord Caitanya and his mercy. And he quoted one line. I'll tell you later on where it came from. Or afterwards, the line goes, "Mercy cometh unrestrained. It falleth like heaven, like gentle rain." And this is from The Merchant of Venice by William Shakespeare. And I was just amazed when I heard that. And it's true that the mercy of Lord Caitanya is so gentle that it's like, for it falleth, or cometh down like rain, and it's so gentle because all we have to do is just chant he has given us the process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Now, it says here also the Paramahamsa for Paramahamsa or Sannyasis, for preaching is the first duty. Now, when I first joined this movement in 1992, there was Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj, who passed away recently. He said, now, in ISKCON, there's generally two categories of preaching. One is for the general public, that when we go out doing book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, and so on. But also we have to preach to the devotees. Because sometimes devotees, they go through some, some period, maybe go through some period in their spiritual life where they're facing obstacles and difficulties. So we have to also preach to the devotees. So then, sometimes that preaching to the devotees, some things have to be said that devotee wouldn't like, but it has to be said to a devotee to get over that obstacle and advance in Krishna consciousness. And Ramanuja Prabhu, who gave class last Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, summed it up very nicely. in his class, he was saying that sometimes in our preaching, preaching actually means not preaching what we want to hear, but preaching what we need to hear. So sometimes what we need to hear is not very palatable to our ears sometimes. So sometimes we have to, the preachers of this Christos movement, we see that sometimes they say things that are not very nice, but according to the Bhagavatam, they are written, and so on. So then, but this is meant to increase the relationship between Krishna and his devotee. Now, as it says here, the first duty is to preach, and sometimes he may go to countries, what it says in the purport, that the sannyasi vesh or dress is not appreciated. So we see generally some of our sannyasis, preachers, that they go to Muslim countries like Damodar Desh, Balaram Desh, and so on. So they have to go in Western clothes. And Chaitanya Maharaj, he generally goes a lot to these. In fact, he called, I think at Dubai is Damodar Desh and Balaram Desh is Bahrain, I think. So, because he has disciples there, he goes there a lot, but he has to go in Western clothes. And also, Chaitanya Maharaj, he goes to Muslim countries, he goes in Western clothes as well. And because as we know, Muslim country, if he goes in generally sannyasi vesh, they probably won't let him in. And so then he preaches to the devotees there in these countries. And even in China, the sannyasis have to go in Western clothes. And so then this Paramahamsas, they're swan-like devotees. Now, when we see a swan, we see a very graceful bird. And the swan has some reason, I don't understand the, but a swan can separate milk from water. Separate from milk from water, so Paramahamsa devotee, the swan-like, can separate the nectar from the, let's say, from the water-like material world. And he just relishes the nectar, and he spreads that nectar all over the world. Now, of course, the nectar in Kali Yuga is the Maha Mantra, the great mantra for deliverance, as Prabhupada would call it, or has called it. So, but it's no ordinary mantra. Because now in the Sri Bhajan Rahasya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that was his last book, written in 1907. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just before he takes Babaji, is actually giving freely what the Maha Mantra actually means. So in the book he explains, or in the writing, he explains that that this Maha Mantra we know is made up of eight lines. And each line of the Maha Mantra represents each of Lord Caitanya's Sahasrakam prayers. And also the eight periods of time of Krishna's pastimes, the Astakalya Leela. Now, then also, it also represents the nine processes of devotional service. Now, it here seems like a blatant contradiction. Now, this nine processes of devotional service, but it's only eight instructions of Lord Caitanya. So, but as Bhagavad Thakur explains, he says, he puts the third and fourth verses together. So that makes eight processes of devotional service. And each chapter is called a yama. And it describes how, by one's individual bhajan, that we can come to the top, that we can come to the last verse of Lord Caitanya's Sahasrakam prayers, and so on. Now, in ISKCON, there are many Paramahamsas, but of course they will not advertise it. They won't wear a placard around their neck saying Amara Paramahamsa Vaishnava, because actually Vaishnava actually means pure devotee, a Suda Bhakta. And Bhagavad Thakur, he writes in Jiva Dharma that he writes in the one little section, which I can't remember what is it, there are three stages of chanting. We know what they are. We know what the three stages of chanting are. And of course, you know, offensive, immediate, and pure chanting. So, the ones, and of course, is Nama Aparad, Nama Bas, and of course, Susudanam. So, he says the ones that are chanting Nama Bas, they're Vaishnava Bas. A Bas means resemblance of a devotee. So, if our chanting is in the immediate stage, that is, of course, that is good, because we're not, you know, we got rid of the offensive, but it's not the highest, it's in the middle. And so on. And an example of this is Arjamil. Now, when he was on his deathbed, he was chanting the name of his son Narayan. He wasn't chanting the name of Supreme. Of course, he was chanting Narayan, but he wasn't chanting the Supreme Person and Godhead. He was chanting for his son Narayan. Therefore, he wasn't making any offenses. So, therefore, the Yamadutas couldn't touch him, because the Vishnu Dutas, they came and, of course, they saved him. And because of this, he got extra extended life. He went to Benares, took shelter of the sadhus there. And at the end of his life, at that end of his extended life, he went to Vaikuntha. He didn't go to Goloka Vrindavan, he went to Vaikuntha. And so this is an example of Vaishnava Bhas. Now, in our movement, I said there are many Paramahamsas, even today, and of course they will preach the absolute truth. Now, there's, you know, when we read Prabhupada's books or the Bhagavatam, the scriptures, we should read in what we call, what is called tattva vichar. That means the absolute truth. Now, this truth can be preached in two ways, either a paravichar or tattva vichar. And paravichar means apparent truth. What seems the truth, but is not the truth. But tattva vichar means the absolute truth. And this is the first duty of the sannyasi, or Paramahamsa sannyasi, to preach the absolute truth. Sometimes he has, or they have to be, choose the right, they have to, of course, say it nicely and palatable for the listeners. So there's a nice little story that proves this. I don't know if many heard of you have heard of Akbar and Bibel. Now, Akbar was the one of the Muslim emperors who ruled India. And Babel was actually a Hindu prime minister in his government. And he's a very wise gentleman. Babel was a very wise gentleman. And Akbar used to take a lot of counsel from him about things. And so one day, one astrologer went to see one of his clients he would regularly see. So this client, who was a rich man and who had some influence in society at the time, he said, "Oh, astrologer, please tell me my future, my fortune, and what's going to happen to my family." So then the astrologer, he read his palm and he looked and he said, "Dear sir, your whole family is going to die very soon." And the rich man, he got really upset at this. In fact, he got very angry. And he says, "How dare you say this? This thing. I don't like this, what you're hearing, so get out of my house. I'm going to broadcast to my friends that you're bogus, you don't know what you're doing or what you're saying. You're just here for the money." So then, this astrologer, of course, this is his main means of livelihood, was getting donations for. So he went to see Babel. Then he said, "Right." And the astrologer explained what happened. He said, "Yes, I know you're generally very, very accurate in your readings. But sometimes an astrologer, you have to put it more gentle. So you don't worry, you do as I instruct you, and you'll carry on doing astrology, and you will get a bag of gold at the end of it. So what you do, you disguise yourself, and you stand outside the house of that rich man who you went to, and you just advertise yourself, call out astrologer for. And you just say, astrologer for hire. Now this rich man, he will come because he hasn't seen an astrologer for a few weeks. So then he'll look out, he'll see you are, he'll think, now he's a new person. Now he can tell me something. So then he'll call you in, and you tell him what, and you tell him what I say to you. So then this astrologer, he disguised himself. He went to the near the house, shouted out, called astrologer for hire. The rich man invited him in. So now please tell me what I need to know. How will my family fare in like this? And he says, and he looked, and he says, he saw the same thing, of course. He says, you will outlive your family. So it's the same message, but it's more palatable. So with that, the rich man came very happy, went to his treasury and gave him a bag of gold. Sunday was the festival, the appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Also, it was the disappearance of Govinda Maharaj. Now, he was, so this is where this verse comes in nicely, because he was also a Paramahamsa. And he would have sometimes to, because it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, no one really glorified Govinda Maharaj. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Govinda Maharaj, they were similar, because they were both of similar natures. And of course, Govinda Maharaj wouldn't be happy to be glorified on the appearance day of the spiritual master, of his spiritual master. So, last night I was thinking about some of the pastimes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the nature sometimes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the nature of Govinda Maharaj. Anybody who came across or went to any of his 3-hour classes, they totally were. The first thing, when I first saw him here, this is a Paramahamsa devotee, sannyasi. Straight away, that struck me. He's a Paramahamsa sannyasi. Now, I was sitting where actually Robin is, the same spot. And one thing he didn't like was devotees nodding off or sleeping in class. So, fortunately or unfortunately, in my case, I think it is my good fortune that I received some of his mercy. I was sitting where Robin was, and I just finished the Bhakta course. And I just fell completely asleep in class. I don't mean nodding, I mean out cold, completely. And then I can remember, I don't know how long I was out for. Then I can remember in Driesh, Prabhu, who was in front of me, shaking me and trying to wake me up. So then eventually I came to consciousness. Then I looked up and I saw this very spot here, Govinda Maharaj, with his eyes, not red, but an angry look in his eyes. When I looked up and I thought, oh my God, it looks like Narsingadev on the altar here. I mean, Narsingadev on the Vyasasan in saffron here. So then for 20 minutes, he was just blasting me for 20 minutes. But while this was going on, I didn't get upset for some reason, because I knew what he was saying was the absolute truth. That one should not sleep in front of Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is literally incarnation of Sri Krishna. We should not sleep. He said, how dare you sleep? Three times he said it. How dare you sleep in front of Bhagavatam? Non-different from Krishna, and you're sleeping, you Maya Das, he said. And then he, say never short some other time, then he went on and on. And then he stopped and he said, so, pointing his finger like this, he said, are you Krishna Das or are you Maya Das? I said, Maharaj, there's only one answer, and that's Maya Das. He says, yes, you're a big, big, big Maya Das. So then I realized this is a great advanced devotee. He's a Paramahamsa. He has all the qualifications. And he was very sweet, because I saw him afterwards in the evening and he was the complete opposite, very gentle. And it's like Bhaktivedanta Swami Thakur, when he was on the Vyasasan, he would be roaring like a lion. But when he was off the Vyasasan, he was very gentle. And he was very, very merciful. So Paramahamsa, as it says in the end of the purport, it has to preach Krishna consciousness and to the concern is to spread Krishna consciousness. So the point I'm trying to make is that to spread Krishna consciousness is not just for the people outside the for the general public, but also to spread Krishna consciousness means to preach to devotees, because Krishna consciousness is very deep. It's a very deep process. And so therefore that the so therefore to once we have read all of Prabhupada's books, we read, we scrutinize, we understand, then where do we go from there? If we really want to go deep in Krishna consciousness. So the acharyas have written some nice literature. Bhagavad Thakur has written Jiva Dharma, Sri Bhajan Rahasya, and other books. And of course it's Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Now Govinda Maharaj, he was when Prabhupada went to see him one time, and he instructed him, Maharaj, you preach the high level philosophy to keep our devotees in the movement. He instructs him personally to do this. This is actually the last meeting of Prabhupada with Govinda Maharaj in 1977. And Prabhupada instructed him, because in this movement there are devotees that are self-realized. They may not look it, I'm talking about on both sides, ladies and gentlemen. They are self-realized, so they need some nourishment. They need some spiritual nourishment to go deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness. So therefore, to read and study the works of the previous acharyas is there. And of course, this is, as I said earlier, that after one reads and understands Prabhupada's books first. And this is what actually Nabati Chumaraj, he was saying in Vrindavan in 1996 when I was there. He said, this question was brought up. He said, you can read the works of the Goswamis and so on, but first you must read all of Prabhupada's books. And then you will understand properly. You get the proper understanding. And this will keep devotees in this movement, because there are some cases in this movement where devotees have left this movement that they are not getting the spiritual nourishment that they need. So they go somewhere else. So this is also the preaching of the Paramahamsa. He separates the ones who are, let's say, the ones who can relish the deep the nectar, and the ones who can't. So of course the chanting of the Maha Mantra is for everybody. But the reading the other, and of course reading Prabhupada's books is for everybody as well. But one has to get the mercy and the blessings of the, you could say, the spiritual master to read these other books, which are on the market, as Script Moya said, Prabhu said, they're on the market openly in Vrindavan. And if one is qualified, then one can make advancement by reading these. It's also said in one of the scriptures that we may not understand or hear what we read from the previous acharyas, but if we just repeat what they say, eventually we will get the mercy of the previous acharyas. And Prabhupada said, he said the same thing. He told his disciples, you just repeat what I say. You don't change, you don't deviate, you don't change anything what I say. You just repeat what I say, and you will be empowered to preach. So it's important that preach these Paramahansas, sannyasis, they have to, preach to spread Krishna consciousness, also to keep the devotees going, who want some nourishment, and also at the same time give the holy name to the general public, and of course Of course, Bhakti Dandasari Thakur was also similar like this. So as it says, the only concern is to spread Krishna consciousness. And this is the duty of the Paramahamsa. So I'll stop there and...